Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
All right, we made it. It's the end of the week. Happy Friday. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Exceptional to have you with us today for what will no doubt be an extraordinary show. Depending, of course, on your definition of extraordinary. What's going on with the music back there? We're up, we're down.
We're all around.
Is DJ Khaled back there right now? What are we doing? Ease into the hot tub, boys. Ease into the hot tub. Here's what you need to know about the guest for today. Terrell Owens. You may have heard of him. He made it to this place called the Hall of Fame. Couple Pro Bowls, all that good stuff. He's at 8:30. T.O., 8:30 sharp. Rob Nen, three-time All-Star. You know him as well. 9:30 sharp. No time for the foreplay. This show, too much foreplay. We're skipping through it. We're getting to business.
And Solano is going to step up. Base hit! And this game is over! And they just keep on doing it.
Shout out NBC Sports Bay Area for the audio. Your final, and this is becoming a recurring theme, gentlemen. Giants 3, Mets 2 in 16 innings. The Giants now find themselves one win away, should it occur tonight, from a 500 record. The Orange and Black have won six straight, 13 of 15, during which time they have outscored the opposition by 58 runs. 15 games back in the NL West. We're not worried about that. One game back of Arizona for second place in the NL West. 2.5 back of that coveted second wild card spot currently occupied by the Milwaukee Brewers. The only team standing in between the Giants and the Brewers would be the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the St. Louis Cardinals. Head versus heart. That's what this comes down to. Because since it started, my head is telling me you stick with the plan, you trade who you need to trade, you build up the farm system, you enjoy this for what it's worth, and then you move on. Heart's telling me something different. I kind of want to see this thing out now.
I think you can do head and heart, though, Joe, because you can make moves with your bullpen and not have that much of a drop-off. So you're right about head versus heart because you see this six in a row, and as you mentioned, 13 of 15 and a game away from being back to 500 for the first time since before you even hung the bunting out at Oracle Park and christened your new name. So you can do both, in my opinion. You can sell and still hang in there. So it is a head versus heart debate, yes, but right now it's all heart because what you're seeing is true magic out there.
Your specific plan, what you're advocating right now, is that keeping Bumgarner but trading Will Smith, getting some prospects back for Smith, realizing the bullpen's deep enough that you can still try to find a way to mitigate that loss, but keep Bumgarner
right,
and keep pushing.
And also trade Tony Watson and also trade Sam Dyson. These are all relievers who will be coveted by these teams who are looking for arms down the stretch.
Well, then who's left to close out some of these games?
You've got Mark Melancon, baby. You're the closer that you're paying to go out there and close games. And you've got Reyes Maranta, who came on and
he's been solid
and pitched pretty well yesterday. Derek Holland is now turning into a pretty decent left-handed specialist. So
the old Dutch oven.
The old Dutch oven. Speaking of which, wife's out of town, so I had the oven heated up last night, love.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's great. Thank you for sharing.
You brought me to there, yeah, and I had to, you know, bring it home for everybody.
You don't see me saying it's not on me.
No, and the power bill is going to go up because the oven was cooking all night.
But, God.
Anywho.
Wow. Well, Daniel. Welcome to the show.
Yeah,
good luck following that up.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have the Dutch oven.
Please tell me you got some sort of take.
No, but coming after that, I just think when you said, heart versus head, and you look at it, I think it's both. I think that this team, forget what the trade value and all those other things, this team is playing with heart and their head. You're in a tough situation. The way that these guys are playing, it's heart and them staying into mentally. So when you see a team that's playing this well and they're mentally tough the way they are, you got to do nothing but tip your hat to this team and this organization. In spite of how they started off, it's looking like they're not going to finish how they started. Let's not be mistaken. This team is better than it was the first half. In this second half of the season, they're lightning in the bottle. But if it was just luck, luck doesn't last this long. This team has gotten better. This team believes that it's better. It's heart. It's playing with heart. It's playing with the emotions. It's doing the things that it needs to do in order to have success. So when you look at it, I stay put unless it's King's ransom. If you're still getting a King's ransom for this guy, and unfortunately, this is just one of the things. It's one of these growing pains that you got to look at and say, are we good enough really to win a title? Right now, your plan is better than just as good as anyone. The Yankees, LA, you're playing just as good. But are you really good enough in a 7-game series to beat those teams? And the answer is probably no. So if you're in that pew and that's where you're at, and you know after the year Madison may be gone, Melanson, some of these guys may be gone. So why not now? If you can get a King's ransom for these guys and still continue to compete and compete hard, then you do it. Now, if it's nothing, if you're not going to get what you think you deserve, and if you don't think you're getting the value for Madison, then you sit put. But if you can get enough, then you trade him no matter what.
Last night was your vintage Bumgarner performance. Absolutely vintage. Guys don't throw 9 innings anymore. In fact, if you go through the data, bullpen usage rate in terms of how many innings bullpens are throwing, it's the highest it's ever been in MLB history. You've never had bullpens throwing more innings than they're throwing this year. That's just the way the game is going. And last night, you put two of the best in the business against each other down at Oracle. Noah Syndergaard was fantastic, and Bumgarner outdueled him yet again. Syndergaard went 7 strong. He looked fantastic, but it wasn't good enough. It was the same thing, essentially, as what we saw in that wild card game back in 2016. Bumgarner goes the distance. 94 pitches to get through 9 innings, by the way.
Not
How about
a lot
show
of pitches.
A little patience, Mets?
Didn't get over 100 pitches. That's
he wanted
great.
To pitch the 10th. Both shut him down.
Good for both.
One of the rare times where Bumgarner said he was unable to sway the skipper. And if it was a different situation, if it was after the trade deadline, for example, he would have gone out there for the 10th. But Bruce Bochy, you know he's protecting the asset, the potential asset at the trade deadline. You mentioned pitching 9 innings. That was the first time Bumgarner pitched 9 innings since that wild card game in 2016. To your point about bullpen usage, even a guy like Bumgarner, who we know, I'll say it, he's a horse. And he can go out there and he always gives you 7, but it's been since 2016 that he actually went the full 9.
Got in a little trouble in the first. You know,
you trouble.
Got a little trouble.
That's early. You just when you put your toes in the hot tub, does it feel great right away?
No,
a little hot.
But
you got to ease in.
It feels quite nice. You're right. But I'm just saying he battled through it. I like that.
Do you know what his career mark is against the Mets? He owns the Mets. Forget about Bernie Madoff owning a piece of the Mets.
Nice.
Oh, actually, no. He just took their money and wasted it. Sorry, Mets. Bumgarner now, including the playoffs, 7-0 with a 1.63 ERA against the Mets.
Wow.
Like, he owns these guys. Jacob DeGrom tonight, they're already throwing it up on the TV. We'll have the full preview for you on that. DeGrom is lights out as he has been this season. That bullpen has let him down in a big, big way. If I'm not mistaken, the Mets are 2-7 in DeGrom's last starts. Now, reconcile that with this stat. DeGrom's given up 2 or fewer earned runs in 9 of his last 10 starts. So he's pitching well. But this series with 3 games to go is going to come down to what you saw last night. That was 16 innings of baseball. The Met bullpen had 7 guys throw 9 innings last night in terms of bullpen usage. The Giant bullpen had 6 guys throw 7 innings. Both are going to be taxed, although the good news is that Dyson wasn't used last night. Neither was Melanson because of workload. So they'll be available tonight. The Giant bullpen, 5th in Major League Baseball in ERA. The Met bullpen, 28th in Major League Baseball in ERA. They are one of the worst in the business. Last night's game has set the stage for the rest of this series to give you an edge, but you're going to need to work DeGrom tonight. You're not going to be able to allow first pitch fastballs, swinging, ground outs, all this stuff. You got to work those counts. You got to eat this guy up early so he doesn't get late into the game, because if you can get DeGrom out of there in maybe 5, maybe 6, this game's going to be there for the taking in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves now, but But damn, man, you're coming off this thing last night, 16 innings of baseball. The electricity is back. It's certainly back.
It's incredible. And right now, and the number low that we talk about, the fan graphs percentage chance of them making the playoffs.
Oh, where's the update?
Up to 3.9 now.
They left the two.
It's no longer a roulette number.
Yeah.
It's no longer a roulette number.
It was a 3.5 yesterday, and I've been looking back at my notes, and I'm going all the way back to when Roxy Bernstein was in your chair, and I was openly mocked, and I'm waiting to fire back at Roxy in a formal way on Twitter, because the Giants at that time were sitting at, I believe, 0.4%, 0.5%.
Right.
And, you know, I was ridiculed on my own program.
At.
Yeah, laughed at. Pointed, too.
By some outsider.
Laughing and pointing. Yes, yeah. By the artist formerly known as Alan Bernstein.
All right, here's the question. As much fun as we're going to have today, here's the question. Do you gamble? Do you gamble? If you have the opportunity to sit in Farhan's ID seat, do you gamble? Do you say, you know what? To heck with it. This is Bochy's final year. We're going to give him everything he needs. We're going for it. You're not going to go buy. You're just going to stand pat with what you have, and you're going to try to make a move knowing full well that the key assets to the rebuild will hit free agency with nothing coming back. Do you gamble? But there's a caveat. If you're going to call us and say, yes, you gamble, you have lost the right to complain down the road if you don't like the result. That's the trade-off. The number's 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Jolo and Dibs back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
Six-time Pro Bowler.
Well, it's all or nothing now. 8 seconds to go.
Hall of Famer.
Young almost falls down. Throws to the end zone.
And 95.7 The Game NFL Insider. Joins Jolo and Dibs this morning at 8:30.
He caught it!
Only on 95.7. The Game.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill.
Jolo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, I'm going to bring an end to this. We're not going to do Top Gun music all day. I know we talked about it last night. This is clearly a money grab now that the new trailer is out. Newsflash, these F-16s aren't even in service anymore. Right. We don't use pilots to fight battles in the air. It's a money grab. Shame on you, Tom Cruise. And now every sheep in America is just throwing money out of their pockets and bank accounts to get to see this movie.
You're not getting paid for it, Steven. You're not getting paid for it, buddy.
It's Steven, you go ahead and you do you back there. The guy gets very little say in what goes on in this program. This is like his one little wrinkle where he can inject his personality.
Well, you can go to 5 to 6 if you like, Deb. I mean, Daniel and you guys can hang out. And
turn on me in a hurry.
I like to make it clear I'm not anti-Langford here. I'm anti-Top Gun 2. I'm anti the movie. It's not a Langford issue, which somehow, bizarrely, you two both immediately took it there. It's nothing against Nice Guy. It's against this BS money grab is what this is. Has everyone seen the trailer?
I saw the trailer this morning.
And
looks
I'm
pretty
assuming,
good, Joe. I'm locked
have
in.
Have you ever
I can't
even
wait.
Seen Top Gun?
Yeah, down there in San Diego. I go to that barbecue spot all the time. It's right there on the water. So, yeah, absolutely, Joseph.
Of course. Right before we jump back into the Giants, great conversation in the break. Lowe was explicitly scouting Brandon Belt last night to see how he would run. Because if you missed it yesterday, we came up with this wild cockamamie bet. Who would you take in the prison bet? $3 million if you win, 1 year at San Quentin if you lose. Lowe versus Brandon Belt in a 30-yard sprint. Don't ask us how we got to that number. 30-yard sprint. And we were, what was everyone's answer there? How many people didn't take Lowe?
Oh, I didn't take Lowe.
You. So yes, you immediately did not
the take baby giraffe could flat out fly.
Oh, my God.
He's their leadoff hitter, coach.
Lowe comes in and he's like, man, I watch that guy. He can't move.
I got to really look at I watched him trying to get to second. They weren't even throwing it there, and he's sliding, jumping because he's moving so slow. I mean, it's like watching a $6 million man running. Boop, 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 just moving like a dude.
Great reference.
Yeah, I'm seriously. And his legs aren't in control. 6'5", he can't win. I just know that now.
From the 707 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Love the show, guys. I moved to Louisiana in the Coast Guard, so shout out to Coast Guard, and downloaded the radio.com app, a little piece of home. Thank you. And a shout out to Louisiana and all the billions of people around the world who listen to this fine program. I got a word the other day. Senegal, the country that Mrs. Dibley's been to a couple times. Big in Senegal.
Wow.
Big in Senegal.
Wow.
The numbers are on the rise in Senegal. Also in Hungary. which I did not see coming.
Big.
But yeah. Big and hungry as well.
I'm telling you, Africa is off the map. I talked to a bunch of my people down there, and they are like, I mean, it's going.
Big continent.
It's a madhouse. They love it.
All right. So big in Africa, according to Lowe. Thank you. Appreciate the update.
And but big and hungry.
Around the globe. Big and hungry. Yeah, I got the demos the other day. I can't keep up on every country
right.
every day, obviously.
Of course.
So I get a handful of countries every day to see where we're at. The hungry numbers have been climbing over the last 18 months.
Oh, wow.
So shout out to all our friends in Hungary. Yugoslavia, which used to exist.
Sure.
Not sure what it is now, but shout out to all you people living within those borders, too. It's great to have you on the program. And, of course, the people in Louisiana. So hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Let us know where you're listening from. Maybe we'll shout you out as we continue to figure out who's faster, Lorenzo Neal or Brandon Belt. But we have other things to solve, too. Are you gambling? Are you gambling when it comes to this team? I do not envy the position Farhan Zaidi is in because with every win, this team builds more and more excitement. Now it's a 16-inning thriller, Bumgarner versus Syndergaard. Bumgarner throws this throwback 9-inning gem to keep his team in it. He wants to pitch in the 10th. He gives you great audio after the game, too, by the way. That's going to be coming up in the next segment. 10 minutes from now, you're going to hear some great commentary from Madison Bumgarner. But the people want to see this out. The people are going to want to see this out. I was thinking about it this morning. If you want to gamble, we can gamble, but you got to give something up because if you're not in Zaidi's seat, if you're just a fan, you're not giving anything up. You have to give up the right to complain. If things go south at the end of the year or this offseason, they don't get splashy and you don't like the direction they're heading in, no complaints. You can't ask for the gamble and then complain later if it doesn't work out. What is it? Can't pray for the rain.
And complain about the mud.
Exactly. Amen, brother. Amen.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, right where you have to be as a fan because I know there's a growing number of fans who want to gamble and they want to say, keep all these guys and, heck, maybe even see if you can add a piece at the deadline somehow, some way, to really bring this magic back. But you're right, Joe. If you don't make these trades and bring in prospects for the future, don't come back next year in 2020 and say, wow, they have no prospects. This team's a year older. They're not going anywhere. They're stuck in the mud. You can't have it both ways on this one.
That's what's easy about being a fan. You can ride the high times and then you can criticize the team for the low times. Look no further than the Golden State Warriors. We're going to look back in 20 years and there's going to be a case study on how arrogant, rude, disrespectful and unappreciative we were of that run because the second things kind of got a little bit dicey here and there. Criticisms of Kerr, of Myers, of the players, of the rotations,
yeah.
of the performances. And then you step back and look at it in the macro and it's like, all right, we got 5 straight trips to the finals,
right?
3 championships, a bunch of finals MVP awards,
right.
individual MVP awards, all-star games, all these remarkable performances in the process. Yeah, any complaining that took place during that era was probably a bit misguided.
No question. And history has a way to, you know, correcting people sometimes when we go on the limb right now to say, oh, this team, they were talking about the Warriors, that is. Oh, they overlooked these teams and people talk about the talent and they should have been winning every single championship. I think the biggest thing about the Giants doesn't have the talent that the Warriors have. But what the Giants do have is they have that heart and that zeal. And last night, you got to see Madison Bumgarner deal. He was throwing great stuff, great command of his pitches. The guy was just calm, cool, collected. You saw this guy go 9 innings, wanted to go 10. You're just happy to see the way that he's playing, especially, and you got to tip your hat to Syndergaard, too, as well, because both these guys
were both. Couple leadoff triples
yes.
last night that the Giants turned into nothing.
To nothing.
In that game.
He kept battling. Both those guys kept battling, but you just wanted to see Madison play well. You knew these guys were going to rally around him, and it was great to see the team and players around him rally around Madison Bumgarner to get him that win, even though it took him 16
years. Yeah, and Farhan Zaidi's absolutely loving what he's seeing from Bumgarner on two fronts. The one front, obviously, he's pitching well for your team. 1.55 ERA over the last 5 starts. That's remarkable. But the other piece is, and you saw it last night, that's a big game pitcher. You know you're going up against one of the league's best, and you go out there and you go 9 innings, only 94 pitches, 64 strikes. He was up to the moment, like you guys were saying. He was stranding base runners when the Mets were able to get them. So if you're a team looking for that frontline starter to head toward the postseason, you look at Bumgarner and you say, whether or not the stuff is all the way back, put that aside. The guy's got moxie. He's a competitor, and he's huge in the big spot.
Tim Flannery, former third base coach to the Giants on NBC Sports Bay Area last night, commentary on the Bumgarner situation, he said this, quote, if you're going to keep him, you have to re-sign him to market value with an extension now. You can't keep him and not sign him. Free agency, as we have seen, is not working with the compensation draft pick connected to a team signing him. And then you go back and you look at what happened to Dallas Keuchel. He just sat out there waiting, then eventually got a $10 million deal. Flannery continues, they owe it to Bumgarner to trade him. Bum signed a very team-friendly contract a few years ago. He helped win 3 world championships and made lots of money for this organization. Now he needs to be treated with class and respect. You either sign him to an extension or you trade him so he can get paid and you can get something for him.
Agreed.
Anyone disagree with those comments?
I've been always one of those guys that's been on the side of the fence to say this guy gave the team a very, very friendly deal and he's outpitched that contract. I thought they would get it done a long time ago, but they let it play out. I really thought that they would. And you look at what Madison's been able to do and what he's been to this team. He has. He's been a pillar. He's been a rock. He's been consistent. Yeah, he's had some ups and downs, little injuries and those things, the motorcycle bike injury and all those things. But if you think about Madison, what he's been in the big moments, I absolutely agree with Friendly.
Speaking of Tim Flannery, he's going to join Damon Bruce and Darren Smith today at 3:30. So mark it down, 3:30 this afternoon, Tim Flannery with Damon Bruce and Darren Smith. In addition to that, Terrell Owens is going to join us at 8:30, Rob Nen at 9:30. Was last night the last start for Madison Bumgarner as a member of the San Francisco Giants? That's next. Joe Lo and Dibs not pushing the button and screwing everything up, because that chaos and all the chaos on this show is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises, as I abruptly left turn the program. And that is an introduction for Stephen Langford to tell you what's coming up on the game. Stephen.
That was beautiful, Joe. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Sonic Internet. The Giants were tied with the Mets at 1-1 up until the 16th inning when Donovan Solano steps in the box with the bases loaded and did this with a 1-0 count.
And Solano is going to step up. Base hit! And this game is over!
Now, Madison Bumgarner went 9 innings, only giving up 5 hits, adding 6 strikeouts on 94 pitches. When asked about the trade deadline, he said this.
I don't get it.
Now, Joe Lo and Dibs will play more of that audio for you. Coming up next, how would former Giants pitcher Rob Nen react to this streak in this situation? Well, the guys will ask him about that at 9:30. And the A's looked to bounce back against the Twins after falling 6-3 in the first of a 4-game series. NFL Insider Week continues here at 95.7 The Game as Terrell Owens joins Joe Lo and Dibs at 8:30. And a little golf update. Shane Lowry and J.B. Holmes are atop the leaderboard at the Open Championship at 8-under. Coming up, more sound from Joe Lo and Dibs. I'm Stephen Langford on the Bay Area's number one sports station. That's 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
And Solano is going to step up. Base hit! And this game is over! And they just keep on doing it.
Mixed emotions for me with all that audio. Love the walk-off. Hate the Top Gun tributes. Not happy at all about this. It's a money grab, people. Don't fall for it.
Take my Mets away.
No? If it was even halfway realistic, Tom Cruise would be in a pair of boxer shorts on his couch flying a drone. The fact that him and all these other people are in these planes flying, does that even happen in war anymore?
Negative, Ghost
Rider.
Do we
have planes flying against other planes over the Baltic Sea? Is that how this works?
I don't think so.
Neither do I. It's a fake movie.
No, we still got planes. We still have the planes are still on the
reconnaissance planes. And if we need to drop a bomb, sure. But I don't think there are dogfights going on anymore.
Oh, we still have the jets. The drones aren't doing it all. Trust me. They still do. It's a huge base, military base.
Are you of the impression that there are dogfights that take place in the sky, like in the original Top Gun? And
no.
And presumably what's going to be happening in this Top Gun 2 nonsense as well?
No.
Okay. So then Cruise could just sit there and fly a drone. Or he could retire and go do something else. I should say Maverick. Pete, what's his name? Pete Mitchell? Is that his name in the movie?
Pete Mitchell? Yeah, Pete.
You don't know that. You're just agreeing.
No, it's a Pete. The guy with the little Dirk Diggler mustache. That's Pete.
What are you talking about?
The guy's got
Diggler.
You're talking about the white guy. What? Has a little red. No, his name is Pete. I'm quite sure it's Pete.
What? That's Maverick's name. Pete Mitchell.
Yeah.
He's not. What do you mean? The thing on his face. He doesn't have any. He doesn't have a mustache in that movie.
Yes, not. Yeah, one guy has a mustache in the movie. I'm quite sure. I gotta watch.
You're talking about the
Goose has the mustache.
Yes.
That's not Pete Mitchell. Okay. Goose's name in that movie is
Pete Mitchell.
Damn, I don't know. No,
Goose.
That's Maverick.
I didn't know they had real names. I thought they just had their names. They're Maverick and Slider and Iceman.
Hollywood, Wolfman.
Yeah, all that stuff. Jester's dead.
What are we doing with Madison Bumgarner as it pertains to the question, was that his last start last night? Like, this leads back to the conversation about whether or not he's going to be traded, and if so, when. The Major League Baseball trade deadline is 12 days away, so he would have time for at least one, if not two, starts. Maybe just one home start. The next time he's due up is Tuesday against the Cubs, which is still about a week before you get to the trade deadline. Speaking of Bumgarner, before we get into that question, outstanding post-game press conference last night. One of the first questions he was faced with. Madison... do all these trade rumors get to you?
Are you less worried, less conscious about a trade, given the way the team's playing?
I don't give a... Well, I'm here to win games for this team, and that's what we're doing.
That being said, the trade stuff, I mean, at any point tonight, do you take a step back that this is your final homestand, that this, you know, what that moment was like?
No, I'm trying to win games for the Giants, and we're trying to get into the postseason.
Wow, Ron Krejcik with the first question coming out, drawing the S-bomb.
He never really says a whole lot, but honestly, there's never been a time he's made a comment where it's like, oh, he's just trying to look cool, or he's just trying to deflect. He's a straight shooter as you have ever come across in professional sports. I really don't believe those trade rumors are affecting him. If he says it like that, I believe him.
Yes, he goes out there and he competes, and I really don't think that he is that affected by it. If they come to him this morning and say, you know, Madison... We did trade you. It's to a team that's not on your no-trade list, so you're going to have to go there. Thanks for your time here. He'll say, okay, fine. He'll go to his new team. He'll try to go 9 innings. He'll try to shove. He'll get into some head-to-head arguments if he needs to. He's going to go out there and compete. He's not a guy who's going to let anything affect him, especially every fifth day.
How rare is that? In the NBA, it seems like everything affects everyone outside of, say, Dame Lillard, right? I mean, for 16 years, did the media – you probably played with guys who were – rubbed the wrong way by the media.
Yeah, you do. But here's a guy like Madison. Does it affect him? Absolutely. Does it affect his play? No. But it affects him. You got a house. You got things you have to do. You don't want to. I mean, it's like, just do what you're going to do. You get to a point where you're just sitting there. You're playing for a team. You're doing your best job. You're going out. You're working out. You do everything that you're supposed to do. But if you can't control it. So, yeah, it does. Does it affect you? Hell, yes, it affects Madison. But does it affect his play? No, because the guy's, I'll say it, the guy's a horse. He's solid. Mentally, he's strong. So he's like, but, yeah, do you think you want to grab a sea bag, grab his stuff, jump on a plane, go fly and go play somewhere else and do the things, try to have people come move stuff out of his house, do the thing? No, you don't want that in midseason. Nobody wants that. But he understands, and he's just tired. He's like, I don't give a crap. Because he's like,
get out of my face.
He's just like, dude, I'm here to play. I'm going to ball. I'm going to try to win. Right. Like you said, Dibs, the guy, whether he jumps on a plane, he's going to go and try to go 9 innings anywhere he goes because it's not affecting his play. But, hell, you just be like getting tired of hearing all this stuff. You get tired of hearing, oh, Madison's being traded. He walks in the locker room. He looks on the paper. He's in the locker room. They got the TVs in the clubhouse. He sees the TVs. They got it on SportsCenter. Mention his name. You're walking around. Hey, buddy, you're looking at guys. They're looking at you. Like, hey, man, don't worry about it. Slap him on the butt. Okay, go take a shower. It's all good, brother, and just keep moving.
Detailed.
What do you do?
What was it like when Drew Brees was in this situation? Because you had Philip Rivers, right? He was drafted, and Drew was there. Flutie was on that team, too, I think.
Flutie
but
plays,
he was
yes.
the veteran. What was right. Drew like when, you draft a quarterback who's going to replace you, and it's pretty much well known that you're going to be gone?
The difference is that you have two guys in a locker room that now – are competing that both that so you feel a little tension. Of course they handle it right. You got a new kid that wants to play. He's calling his agent every week. Man, I just want to play. I'm first round. I'm supposed to be playing. Drew's holding him off. He's looking over his shoulder because the front office wants to play the young fella. And Marty wants to stay with Drew.
I love it. The guys who get upset that they're not playing, you're still getting paid.
Right, yeah.
And you're not getting hit. I'd love that job.
Yeah.
If you told me, you know what, we're going to go with Bernstein's going to fill in for you, and we're just going to sit you, and we're going to let him do his thing, and you're going to develop, and the checks are still coming in. I'm not calling any agents. Just let me know when it's time.
But it's
other than that, I'll be on the beach.
That's what happened with Chad Doing, by the way. They had Doing on ice for like 90 days. Jason Barrett hired him, our former boss.
He came up here in like August, right? Oh, and then we launched December 8th.
Yeah. So he was iced for 4 months. Not to bring it all back to Doing, but
no.
Just when you were saying that about Bernstein.
I remember that because I knew him before then, and I remember talking to him. He's like, you know, I'm just getting antsy. I just want to get on the air. Why? They're paying you, aren't they? You got benefits.
No,
what are you so antsy about?
Just hold the clipboard, dude.
Yes.
Doing?
But it's different.
He's a competitor.
It is different.
I'm not. I'll gladly get back. That's why Chase Daniel's my favorite football player. Look at that. He's making what? He's made $25 million in his career as backup quarterback. He never has to play.
Never.
You don't have to worry about CTE or breaking your leg. Who wants to be Alex Smith?
Oh,
Alex Smith has made over $100 million. The guy can't walk.
Yeah.
He had Joe Theismann on the 30th anniversary of the Joe Theismann injury.
He was in a leg brace for 8 months. Eight months.
And what's the point of having all that money?
Seriously, I was showing you the brace. It's Lowe's right. It's like the halo, but that's... Mm-hmm. That's where it puts you in some perspective, like,
jeez.
There's broken legs, and then there's what happened to his leg. All you need to know about Madison Bumgarner and whether or not this is affecting him is his ERA over the last five starts, 1.55. As we get closer to the deadline, he just gets better and better, and it's not so that he can raise his value. He's out there trying to win games,
yes.
And as he told you, he doesn't give a blank about any of this other stuff. He just wants to go out there and pitch.
You know what happened before that start? You're talking about his last five starts,
right.
What he's done. 29 innings pitched, 5 earned runs, 34 strikeouts, and just 5 walks with a 1.55 ERA. What was the start before that run?
I don't know.
Train wreck against the Dodgers. He went out there and got absolutely lit up, and then since then he has been shutting people down, which is why this isn't going to be popular. I think last night, if it's not his final start for the Giants, it should have been his final start for the Giants. And I don't care if he's still on the roster come Tuesday when he's due up against the Cubs, I don't pitch him again. I don't risk anything. If you are planning on trading him, there is literally nothing left to be gained after what you saw last night. 5 straight starts, during which time the Giants are 4-1, 1.55 ERA, like Dibs has mentioned, 34 strikeouts to 5 walks. This is the best he's looked in 4 years. This is the best he has looked in 4 years. And last night, in what was probably the most hyped up, biggest game of the season, he pitched a 9-inning gem where he gave up 1 in the first and then mowed down the Mets, who are playing good baseball, by the way, as of late,
yeah.
Mowed him down the rest of the way. I don't put him out for another minute. That value is not going anywhere. That's the highest it's going to be. What could he do against the Cubs on Tuesday that's going to make it look any better? And is that worth the risk? To me, no. That's the end. If you're going to trade him and he's not moved by next Tuesday, that's fine. You skip that start and you put him on ice.
You guys humor me for a second. Is the Angels, do you think they're a playoff team or they got – probably not.
They've been playing some decent baseball. They're very emotional off the death of Tyler Skaggs. They had
right.
that team no-hitter
right.
last weekend.
Yeah.
They've been winning some games. I don't think so. I think long-term they're not going to make it.
Okay, so if you compare them to the Giants, you'd probably say, okay, the Giants are a little hotter. So why don't people talk about, okay, why don't people trade Mike Trout? Okay, get more value. If you're in California, they got think about the players that they got on their roster.
Look at this. Trade Mike Trout take coming out of left field.
No, because – think about what everyone's saying about Baumgartner.
Hot.
Try to get some value for him. So their team's rebuilding. Where are they at? They got older players. Some of the guys are just what is Angels. So what's the biggest difference? Just what's the biggest difference when you're talking about those scenarios?
Well, one is they just signed Trout to like a 10-year deal, which is one thing. Which other teams would probably take on for Mike Trout. The Phillies would take him on, no doubt.
Well, take that away. Say if he just had his 2 years deal, what would be a year or 2 years later?
Trout's Mickey Mantle. I think that's probably how they view him. They look at him as he's an everyday player, and they don't have the recent run that the Giants have had. The Giants had those 3 World Series, and they kind of realized that with the ebbs and flows, they were on the peak, now they're down in the valley. They can use this to get back up. For the Angels, they haven't even gotten to the top. So their whole thought is, if we have any chance of ever getting anywhere, this is going to be the first guy to lead us there. Plus, if you trade him and there are any Angels fans left, there won't be after something like that. Interesting point, though. But if you're Bochy, if you're Zaidi, are you shutting Mad Bum down? Is that it? Is that it after last night? Do you even take the risk of putting him out there once again? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
6-time Pro Bowler.
Well, it's all or nothing now. 8 seconds to go.
Hall of Famer.
Young almost falls down. Throws to the end zone.
95.7 The Game, NFL Insider.
Bond!
Terrell Owens joins Jolo and Dibs this morning at 8:30.
He caught it!
Only on 95.7. The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Nice guy, turn your microphone on. Do you have enough Top Gun music to get us through the entire show today?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The next two, make sure you tune in at 7:30 and at 8:18. Some good ones coming up for you.
All right, thank you very much. Top Gun 2 trailer's out. Everyone's just over the moon. Cruise is back as Maverick, flying jets. You know what? Who's the enemy in this one? Is it just obviously Russia?
I would imagine.
Maybe China.
They don't tell you in it. So does anyone, if you were taking a guess, who would they be dogfighting?
It would have to be Russia. Korea, you think?
Which Korea?
North.
Good guess.
I mean.
You had a 50-50 there. You go south and it's like, woo, things went south. If we're going out there fighting South Korea.
Yeah.
And then allies with North Korea. That's a movie. Now suddenly Tom Cruise would be onto something.
Yeah.
You turn on Top Gun and it's this year where Cruise is still fighting, but he's allied with Un fighting against South Korea.
Crazy.
You're like, what the hell? It'd take the whole 2 hours to figure out how that went south. Well, that's the world for you.
Ed Harris is the enemy. I'm going plot twist here.
Ed Harris has a little bit of that Robert Redford going on.
Man, mixing some skin cream, Ed.
Ooh, Ed.
Good God.
SPF 50, son. take care of yourself out there in the sun these days.
A little wrinkly.
Oh, boy. All right. So what are you doing? Are you pitching Madison Bumgarner again?
Absolutely.
Give him one more start?
Absolutely.
Give me the rationale as to why.
I'll give you the rationale, but I'm going to borrow from a good friend of the program.
Sure.
I want winners.
I want wins. I want winners. You're a game below 500 right now. You are legitimately in this second wild card race. The percentage is now 3.9, according to FanGraphs. You have a 3.9% chance of getting the second wild card. While you have Madison Bumgarner, pitch him. He's pitching great. You want wins, and at the very least, you're trying to get Bruce Bochy to 74 wins, which gets him to 2,000 for his career. So while you have one of the best pitchers in baseball, throw him.
Is this logic rooted in the assumption that he will be traded as well?
Yes. Yes.
So then why do you want to take that risk? Because I think maybe at max he has two more starts. And I understand you're trying to win. Everything you lay out is landing loud and clear. Tough to reconcile for me, though, the risk versus the reward there. You're not guaranteed the win, but it gives you a better chance.
Yeah.
But you are taking a significant risk. A comebacker in spring training derailed half the season last
year. Right, broke his hand. And other than that and the motorcycle accident, he's been unbelievably durable. If this was a pitcher who maybe had a history of elbow problems or forearm tendonitis or even a blister issue, I would be maybe more cautious. But this is Madison freaking Bumgarner. He's a horse, as Lowe likes to say. I'll say it, he's a horse.
Yeah.
The guy's got unbelievable durability. And other than a freak accident happening, which, you know, we're not talking about Jeremy Affelt, who got hurt picking up his kid and cut his finger in the kitchen.
Jeff Kent washing his car.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Brandon Marshall slipping on the McDonald's bag.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, some of the great freak accidents.
Very believable.
People getting hurt while they sleep and stuff. I mean, things can
Marty
happen.
Marty Cordova in the tanning bed. That's my favorite of all time.
Right.
The guy's job is to get a tan. He plays left field.
Things can happen at any time to anybody. And obviously, pitching makes you more susceptible to injury than just sitting around. But I say you pitch him. Go ahead and throw him.
Yeah, if you're willing to ride with me.
Are you taking that risk?
If you're willing to ride with me, you're willing to die with me. If you're willing to get in the car, you should be able to you understand what's at stake. Here's a situation. If Madison, if he's here, still here, you pitch him for a couple reasons. If you don't, you lose the team. Guys in that locker room, in that clubhouse, will look and say, wow, look what they're doing to Madison. Is this how Forhan's going to do it? And he's got to be careful. I understand the logic thing would be is to not pitch him. Because you're saying, I don't want to risk injury. He's already pitched a great game. What's the probability of he pitching a no-hitter? Slim to none, and probably none has left the building. But it could happen. So could he get something up better? Yeah, but how much? Not really that much. So when you're talking about 9 innings, what he was able to do, only 94 pitches, so didn't have a lot of work, that shows you that, God, he's playing at a very, very elite level. But on the flip side of that, if he's in that clubhouse and he's supposed to be up, and all of a sudden everyone thinks he's going to be up and he's get that tap and he's not going, it's just like everyone's looking around like, what the hell?
Too bad.
Yeah.
You're all paid professionals. Go out there and do your job. No one wants to hear about your emotions. It sucks. It absolutely sucks, and I agree with that. But right now, the value is the highest it will be. He pitched. How many guys have gone 9-full this year? How many pitches out there? I don't have the number. I do have this number. In the history of Major League Baseball, there has never been a year where the bullpen has thrown more innings than this year. okay? Starters are no longer working as deep into games as they used to because of the analytics movement and everything in between. You're getting to the bullpen sooner. Yet this guy goes 9 strong last night and dominates the Mets. I do not see a scenario where his value gets any higher unless he goes out Tuesday against the Cubs and he mows down that lineup. I'm not willing to take that risk. The best case scenario there is he mows him down, he doesn't get hurt, the Giants win, and then you trade him. But I don't think you're going to get more pieces back because of another good start. He's done it. He's made 5 solid in a row. Well, the one he got hurt and left after 2 innings. But his last 5 starts, the ERA, as Dibs has said, 1.55. Strikeout to walk ratio is outstanding. He's pitching as great as we've seen over the last 3 years. I don't see, if you're going to move him, why take the risk? The risk-reward scenario here, the factor is way too high, way too high.
I think the reward is great in that you can get 2 more good starts, possibly 2 more wins for your team, and you can stay in this race. Even if you do trade Baumgartner and you trade other relievers, at that point, you might still be around 500. You might still be in the race. So I think you would regret it if you didn't pitch him and you lost those games and then you traded him and you ended up getting whatever you get back in return, most likely prospects, guys who aren't going to help you this year. What if you wound up 1 game out of the second wild card and you had these 2 starts where you could have thrown Baumgartner, but you didn't. You went with Derek Holland maybe, or you brought Andy Suarez back. You lost those games and you're thinking, man, we should have just thrown him out there. We would have won those games. We would have made the playoffs anyway.
Here's the flip side to that. He goes out against the Cubs. He's got 4 no-hit innings going. He comes out in the 5th and he blows out his elbow. His season's done. His tenure with the Giants is done. Essentially, it's the Kevin Durant, Clay Thompson situation, except this ain't going to be a Joe Lacob scenario where you go out there and pay him anyway, and then raise his number into the rafters, because everyone's getting the jerseys retired over there these days immediately after announcing they're going to a new team, right? That's it. You get no trade value whatsoever. The team doesn't go to the playoffs, and it ends up going down as one of the dumbest moves in baseball history. I get the emotion of it. I get the fact that they're still kind of in this thing. But once he's traded and once Will Smith's traded, this winning streak's coming to an end anyway. It's going to deflate the locker room. Maybe there's that dead cat bounce scenario where they put one last gasp out there, but it's going to normalize itself. They're going to start losing again, and they're probably going to fall out of contention. It's been a great run. This isn't to try to hang a cloud over it. I'm just saying, look at where you are. Look at what his value is right now. It's not getting any higher. If the whole goal this season was to trade him and to have that trade sow the seeds for the future of the Giants, that future crop of talent that's going to come up, there's nothing left to be gained by pitching him. There's everything left to lose. There's very little, if not nothing, left to be gained. That should be it last night. And if he goes out and that's the final performance, mowing down the New York Mets over 9, people are okay with it. Everyone had the opportunity to go out to the park last night to see him. I'm okay if that's where it ends.
That'd be a very Giant ending, too, with a classic no decision. Guy goes out there and throws 9 and gives up 1 Ernie and he gets a no decision. That would feel, I mean, that's kind of Matt Cain's career in a nutshell, quite frankly.
When you look at Madison now, Dibs, and see what he did last night, you talk about where his ERA is right now. What kind of value do you think that you get for Madison? Has it reached its peak? Do you think it's
huge value the way he's pitching right now? Oh my God! How many teams out there are interested in a frontline starter like him?
What's going on? Then why ain't everyone just jumping over the candlestick?
Okay, let me. I'll give you an analogy, or I'll ask you a question. Why is it that when the NFL and the union and the league and they go against each other, why does it always take right until the start of week 1 before the deal gets done? Right?
Yeah.
No one ever is forced to act until the clock is ticking. That's how almost every negotiation works. Very rarely does a big deal get done well in advance when everyone's comfortable. Time, it forces this. The deadlines force people into action. They force people to really get through the nitty-gritty so you can make it. There's nothing more American than procrastination.
But do they know what they're willing to give up? Do you think the team's out
right now? They've been talking for months. Okay, so people know what this is going to take.
So they already know where they're at.
I think the Giants have an idea of what offers have been out there.
Yeah.
I think they know what they want and what they're trying to drive up. And now we're going to see. Now we're going to get the nitty gritty done over the next week or so. Are you willing to give up that other prospect or the better of the 2 prospects?
So right now, you think that there's offers out there, but the Giants are controlling it right now.
And I think the Giants are just working their way through. There's no reason to get it done now unless the deal overwhelms you, because you're going to have phone calls from Minnesota's going to be out there. You got to figure the Yanks are going to be calling. Tampa won't, because they don't do that sort of thing, but who knows? If Boston thinks they're in it, they could make a call. I mean, if you're the Dodgers, do you make a call? knowing it's Zaidi, knowing he's going to move the guy, do you make the call to the Giants to see what that would take? You know the Dodgers have got to get one. The pressure's on down there to make it happen. The Atlanta Braves absolutely need another arm if they're going to make a play. Washington's got arms, but they're red hot right now. They might be interested. The Phillies are definitely interested. I don't know if the Cubs would come calling, but you're going to have, I would say, minimum four teams out there that are seriously motivated buyers, right? That's what they say when you're trying to sell a house. I've got a motivated buyer. Mm-hmm. I think there's at least four. I think the Yanks are interested. I think the Twins would be interested. The Phillies and or Braves. And if you're the Dodgers, why not? Why not? Just call to see what the price is. You're so close 2 years in a row. If you're trotting out a rotation in the playoffs of Walker Buehler and Ryu, who just started the All-Star game, and Clayton Kershaw and Madison Bumgarner, you got to feel pretty good about your chances. Imagine that rotation against the Yankee lineup in October. Who says no?
It'd be pretty exciting.
Well, probably like everyone outside of those two fan bases, because those two fan bases are hated.
And it's,
think about it.
There's a couple things you do have to keep in mind as it pertains to this and the potential trade. One is his no-trade list. He's got a list of teams, and a lot of those teams you were mentioning are on his no-trade list. So he has to approve a trade to those teams, which means if you're Madison Bumgarner, you want some sort of trade kicker or either a renegotiated contract immediately. There's going to be things that you ask for in order to be allowed to be traded to those teams. The second piece, and this to me is the most interesting part of it, the Giants might be looking to trade two players to the same team. So maybe it's a Bumgarner and Will Smith. Maybe it's a Bumgarner and Tony Watson. A combination of players to get even better prospects, like Joe was saying.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Happy Friday. It is great to have you with us for this show. T.O., Terrell Owens will join us in just under 90 minutes at 8:30. Rob Nen, the three-time All-Star, will join us at 9:30. And mark it down, Tim Flannery will join Damon Bruce and Darren Smith at 3 p.m. Let's begin the 7 o'clock hour right here.
And Solano is going to step up. Base hit! And this game is... And they just keep on doing it.
9 innings, 10 innings, 16 innings. It does not matter. The Giants find a way once again. Your final from Oracle last night, Giants 3, Mets 2. The Giants now find themselves one win away from a 500 record. That could come as early as tonight against Jacob deGrom, who will square off against Tyler Beede. More on that preview in just a few moments. The Giants have won 6 straight. 13 of their last 15, during which time they've outscored the opposition by 58 runs. They're 15 back of the Dodgers in the NL West, 1 back of Arizona for second in the NL West, 2.5 back of that coveted second wild card position, currently occupied by Milwaukee. The only team standing in between Milwaukee and the Giants would be the Cardinals, the Phillies, and the Diamondbacks. Bumgarner was an absolute stud last night. We've been talking about that. We'll get back into it, but right now, this team is like the ultimate immune system. You give them a little test, and they respond. I think the term is anti-fragile. Tlaib's book, anti-fragile, which is what everyone's talking about these days. The ability to absorb a punch and not break, but learn from that punch, absorb that punch, get better, stronger, and more durable as a result of that punch. It's kind of how your immune system operates. When you're young, you get a little dose of the flu, influenza. We get those flu shots. Builds up our immunity. Last night, you get to the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, shout out Will Smith in the 10th for getting out of that jam. But you get to the 16th and Pete Alonso hits that home run, I believe his 32nd of the season. And just like that, you realize you've been hit. So what are you going to do? You going to fold or are you going to respond? They responded. They didn't just come out and tie that game, Dibs. They came out and won that game. I don't even think, did they even get an out in the bottom of the 16th? I don't think there was a single out. It was a Dick double and then it was a Crawford double, which tied the game up. And then there was a hit batter. I think Slater got hit. There was an intentional walk, and then it was done.
Donnie Baseball, against a 5-man infield, by the way. They brought just about everybody in, 5 across, Donnie and he baseball. Was able to slice one into right field in the walk-off for Donovan Solano. And excited. Everyone excited, including the hundreds of seagulls that were patiently waiting to devour all the food scraps at Oracle Park. But you wake up, and you realize they've won 13 of 15, and it's an unbelievable run. Even if they don't win the second wild card, even if they trade their pieces and the season ends with, you know, maybe it's 85 losses and it's a disappointment, you will at least have this stretch to hold on to as a Giants fan, knowing how hot they were, knowing that they went 6-1 on the road trip, this duel last night, two of the best pitchers in baseball, and you got a pitcher's duel. This run has been a lot of fun, no matter how it ends.
Winning every way possible.
Right.
Have you ever had anything like this happen during your career where it just seemed like no matter what you faced, you found a way?
Yeah, that one year, I think you pulled it up, and it was 2007. Where we went on that run. Oh, actually, 2004.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier. You guys were coming off a bad year.
Bad year.
You were 3-3, and then you won, I think, 8 in a row.
Yes, the year before we only won 4, and we just got hot. We got hot going on the roll. And once you get on that roll, guys just start believing more. Guys start working a little bit harder.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.